It's interesting to see the word anudhyeyam, must be meditate upon. Like that's a must. Huh? Meditation on Krishna's form. Etad rupam anudhyeyam. This form one must meditate upon. Translation. My dear Lord, those who desire to purify their existence must always engage in meditation upon your lotus feet, as described above. Those who are serious about executing their occupational duties and who want freedom from fear must take to this process of bhakti yoga. Purport. It is stated that the transcendental name form. Verstehst du Englisch? Willst du die Deutsch? Sorry. You understand quite good English, huh? I think better than here. Okay. Good. Otherwise, yeah, everyone is familiar with English, at least with what seems to be English. So here is the purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is stated that the transcendental name, form, pastimes, and entourage of the Lord cannot be appreciated by the blind material senses. Therefore, one has to engage himself in devotional service so that the senses may be purified and one can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Here, however, it is indicated that those who are constantly engaged in meditation on the lotus feet of the Lord are certainly purified of the material contamination of the senses and are thus able to see the Supreme Lord face to face. The word meditation is very popular in this age amongst the common people, but they do not know the actual meaning of meditation. However, from Vedic literature, we learn that the yogis are always absorbed in meditation upon the lotus feet of the Lord. Dhyana vastita tad gatena manasa pashyanti yam yoginaha, from Bhagavad Gita. This is the real business of the yogi, to think of the lotus feet of the Lord. Lord Shiva therefore advises that one who is actually serious about purification must engage himself in this type of meditation or in the mystic yoga system, which will help him not only to see the Lord within constantly, but to see him face to face and become his associate in Vaikuntha Loka or Goloka Vrindavan. The word Svadharmam, as in Svadharmam Anushtitam, indicates that the system of Varnashram Dharma, which indicate that the system of Varnashram Dharma, which indicate the occupational duty of Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Sudra, and which is the perfect institution for humanity, must be supported by Bhakti Yoga if one at all wants security in life. Generally, people think that simply by executing the occupational duty of a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Sudra, or the duty of a Brahmachari, Grihastha, Varnaprastha, or Sannyas, one becomes fearless or securely attains liberation. But factually, unless all those occupational duties are accompanied by Bhakti Yoga, one cannot become fearless. In Bhagavad Gita, there are descriptions of Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, and Dhyana Yoga. But unless one comes to the point of Bhakti Yoga, those other yogas cannot help one attain the highest perfection of life. In other words, Bhakti Yoga is the only means for liberation. We find this conclusion also in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in a discussion between Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy regarding a human being's liberation from this material world. In that discussion, Ramananda Roy refers to the execution of Varnashram Dharma, and Lord Chaitanya indicate that the Varnashram Dharma was simply external. Lord Chaitanya wanted to impress upon Ramananda Roy that simply by executing the duty of Varnashram Dharma, one is not guaranteed liberation. Finally, Ramananda Roy refers to the process of Bhakti Yoga, Staneshtita Shuti Gatam Tat Tanuvan Manobhi. Regardless of one's condition of life, if he practices Bhakti Yoga, which begins with hearing Shuti Gatam, the transcendental message of the Lord, through the mouth of devotees, he gradually conquers the unconquerable God. God is known to be unconquerable, but one who submissively hears the words of a self-realized soul conquer the unconquerable. The conclusion is that if one is serious about liberation, he not only should execute the occupational duty of Varnashram Dharma, but should also engage in Bhakti Yoga by beginning hearing from self-realized soul. This process will help the devotee conquer the unconquerable Supreme Personality of Godhead and become his associate after giving up the material body. Wow, that's really great, great verse and great purport by Srila Prabhupada. So here the verse again. My dear Lord, those who desire to purify their existence must always engage in meditation upon your lotus feet, as described above. Those who are serious about executing the occupational duties and who want freedom from fear must take to this process of Bhakti Yoga. Here the verse said, if you meditate upon Krishna's lotus feet as mentioned above. Actually, I would like just to read the verse above because that's such a beautiful description of Krishna's lotus feet, or meditation on Krishna's lotus feet. Lord Shiva is saying, my dear Lord, your two lotus feet are so beautiful that they appear like two blossoming petals of the lotus flower which grow during the autumnal season. Indeed, the nails of your lotus feet emanate such a great effulgence that they immediately dissipate all the darkness in the heart of a conditioned soul. My dear Lord, kindly show me that form of yours which always dissipate all kind of darkness in the heart of a devotee. My dear Lord, you are the supreme spiritual master of everyone. Therefore, all conditioned souls covered with the darkness of ignorance can be enlightened by you as the spiritual master. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Pashkatya Dejatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasati Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So in this verse we have two main points which are given. The first one is concerning meditation on Krishna's lotus feet as the way to become fearless, both the meditation on Krishna's lotus feet and performance of Varnashram Dharma executed with loving devotional service, both actually will give to the living entity this fearlessness. They will elevate the living entity and allow him to finally go back home, back to Godhead. And that's amazing. So many times Srila Prabhupada is mentioning that in the purport. Two or three times he explained how the devotee will see the Lord, will be able to see the Lord, how the devotee will be able to conquer the Lord, which is unconquerable. Few times Prabhupada write that. Prabhupada has always such a beautiful way to show us what is the goal and to make us, although so fallen or so neophyte, he's always show us you can make it. It's just there. It's just there, just waiting for you. And he explained how the yogi will see the Lord himself in the heart through this meditation. But that's not all. You will not only see him in the heart, you will see him face to face. That's, wow, we feel very much encouraged by those words from Prabhupada. Now in the purport also Srila Prabhupada speak about this varnashram, dharma, our occupational duties that need to be done with devotional service. He's making the strong point that if you just follow rules and regulation of varnashram dharma, but you are not aware that the goal of that is to give pleasure to Krishna, then you will not actually get the proper result. You will actually not get liberation nor freedom from fear. The application of bhakti into the varnashram dharma is a must for one who wants to go to the ultimate destination. Now another point that Prabhupada mentioned here, he said for those who want to become purified, they must meditate upon Krishna's lotus feet. So it's interesting to see, do we want to become purified? Often purification seems to be something painful. How are you, Prabhupada? Oh my God, I'm getting purified. Oh, I get so many purification, you cannot imagine. Often we see purification as something that gives pain or something that is hard and difficult. But here we hear that actually we can be purified through a nectar way, through meditation on Krishna's form. And Prabhupada also mentioned in the beginning that purification will also come by engaging our senses in service. He starts like this, actually, the purport. He's saying, by engaging actively our senses in Krishna's service, one will become purified, and then one will be able to come to the level where he can actually understand the Lord. But then he said, but, although that's a process mentioned, but Lord Shiva, he is saying about meditation as the process of purification. And I was thinking that actually we should not do or one or the other. We should do both. Let's get the double purification action. And Prabhupada says, although service is recommended for purification, here meditation on the lotus feet is given by Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva said, even one who is serious about becoming purified, I mean, one who really feels, I need, unless I become purified, how will I ever be able to see the Lord or to know the Lord? It's a must. I need to become purified. I should go for it. I should not hide from purification when I come on my way and try to avoid it or rebel against the purification that are coming. That's a must. That's necessary. So I was thinking a little bit, what is our meditation in Krishna consciousness? For practicing meditation, one needs actually, that meditation means a focus of the mind in one specific point for a longer amount of time. That's the, I would say, the general definition of meditation. So as Prabhupada mentioned here, the real meditation is when the object of the focus is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the lotus feet of the Lord, or the name of the Lord. And our meditation time is actually our japa time. That's the time when we are supposed to do meditation. We are supposed to focus our mind on the name. And that's also very interesting how we can learn from different schools who practice meditation. When they do meditation, they sit and they know, now I will meditate and I will not do anything else. Whatever happened to me, I will not give any attention. I will be fixed in my meditation. And we see for us who are doing japa, so many times it's not such a serious meditation. We are doing japa while moving, while speaking with others, and also often we might go to a devotee and interrupt his japa to ask him questions and things like this. We don't have so much this understanding of the importance that japa is a meditation, that's a secret time when one is exchanging with Krishna. So this is actually our meditation time. And we can see so much result, so much benefit in our japa when we are concentrated. I think every one of us could have experience between a good japa day and a spaced out japa day. When you have a good japa, the whole mind, the whole perspective change. One become really in the transcendental level. One is really become free from the flickering of the mind. One remembers Krishna and think of pleasing him. Such amazing difference between good japa or spaced out japa. It's almost like day and night. Externally it's the same practice. The person is there and chanting the name. But because the internal attitude is different, it brings so much difference. So this is our meditational time, but we have also other meditational time. For example, during kirtan. We are chanting kirtan, is the time when we think of God, when we think we are here, we are in front of you, my Lord. We have the chance to be just close to you and to dance and sing for you. And today we had a wonderful kirtan and we could feel how it was not just chanting few mantra or making a show of singing so good, or it was really that's for you, my Lord. And we feel simple melody, simple way to do, but we feel there is so much potency because the heart is there, because the desire to please the Lord is there. Some years ago I was staying here in Munich temple and we would go on Sankirtan with the devotees. And one evening when we came back, one of the devotees told me, well, there is a Buddhistic monk, a Buddhistic temple close by. Let's go and see how they are doing. So we went there and they were all sitting in silence. And there was such a peace and such a mood of concentration. It was really moving. And then we came in the temple for Gaurarati. And it was quite a big change. It was, and I felt, although our process is much nicer, it's much nicer to sing and dance for the Lord, but I felt we are, it seems, at least myself, is missing a lot of depth into the practice. I'm just here and chanting, but where is my mind? My mind is just running all around. And also kirtan should be a meditation. Our mind should be with the name. Our ears should be there to listen the others chanting. Our consciousness should be there. My Lord, I'm now for you. That's for you. That's my worship for you. I'm not just enjoying kirtan. It's a worship. It's a worship of you. It's a glorification of your person. So that's also a process of meditation. Also, when we are cooking for Krishna, it should also be a meditation. Krishna will eat what I'm cooking there. Of course, there are services when it becomes difficult. I mean, even for cooking, you have to think which spices and what will I use. And your mind should be engaged quite a lot into other thoughts that directly thinking of Krishna. And what to say if you are doing temple president or temple commander and you have so many responsibilities, so many emails. So it becomes very difficult to meditate about Krishna. And one day in Vrindavan, one disciple of Prabhupada, who was in charge of managing the building of Krishna Balaram Mandir, he came to Prabhupada. He said, Prabhupada, I have enough of that service. That's too much. And we can imagine such service, and especially for a Western devotee, to supervise building in India, where everyone tried to cheat and to steal here and there. So the devotee was really, he said, Prabhupada, I don't have good japa, I don't have any time for reading, I'm just totally absorbed in those terrible activities, this terrible service. I cannot think of Krishna, that's not good. Better I should stop that and just chant. And Prabhupada told him, do you think that when Arjuna was fighting, that he was just absorbed in meditation about Krishna's form? No, Arjuna was just focused into his service. He was just acting for Krishna, and that's what we want to do. That's Krishna consciousness, and that's actually the meditation. Arjuna was totally fixed for whom he was doing that service. There was no doubt, because he did not want to do that. So he was doing that just for Krishna. He was focused in that aim. My service is meant for Krishna. And I think that's the ideal type of meditation when we have services that takes a lot of energy for us or a lot of mental strength, that actually we just keep this simple focus. This is for you, Krishna, I'm doing. This is, sometimes we can also not relate so easily Krishna, or it seems to be so far away and I'm here lost in the material world. Then we meditate, that's for my Guru Maharaj. That's for Srila Prabhupada. They are there, closer to us. It's easier to relay to them. But the focus should be there. All my, for whom I'm doing those actions. I remember in the beginning of my Krishna consciousness, I like to make bread. But when I would need the bread, I will always have to put quite a lot of strength to do that. And one day I asked one devotee of the temple, how can I do bread with love and devotion when I have to put so much strength into the process? And the devotee told me, you just need to remember for who you are doing the bread. Just keep that in mind. So simple. There is not need of a deep, elaborate meditation. Just keep in mind for who you are doing the service. Now there is another point that connects to that is very, very important. And the point is, identify yourself with the service you are doing. That means do it with extreme carefulness. Do it very, very fine, very, very much in the detail. We were speaking yesterday, we were in the car with Maharaj. We are now producing a new CD for Maharaj that we recorded in Janmastami this last year. And there was a little problem on the cover. And that was ready to be printed. And that was like half millimeter or 1 millimeter fault. So the person in charge was calling the person in charge of the design was calling the one in charge of the publication. And he said, oh, there is a mistake. Maybe we should just correct that small mistake before we do the print. So the person said, yeah, don't worry, I will tell the people who do the printing, it will be okay. And then Maharaj heard that. He said, I hope he will do. Because so often we think, wow, 1.5 millimeter, what does it matter? Let's take the simple way. Let's take the easy way. Let's do it like this. So Maharaj was saying, I hope he will do that. He will not think it's not so necessary. And then I told Maharaj, he was saying, often in our movement we have these careless things in services, and so many mistakes come out because devotees do not really care for what they are doing. And then I told Maharaj, it seems there is like a curse on our ISKCON movement of being spaced out. That it seems that everyone is easily spaced out for many things. And Maharaj said, that's nothing to do with a curse. That's because the devotees do not identify themselves with the service they are doing. They don't identify fully of the service they are doing. He said, devotees, they just want to be happy. They don't care much about the service. They know, by doing service, I will be happy. So let's do it and finish it quickly and just be happy and just take the happiness out of it. And Maharaj said that's not the way it goes. And Maharaj said when really you are identified to the service you are doing, and you really think, I'm doing that to please my spiritual master, you will get so much strength. You will be empowered. You will have so much strength to do service properly. So I think that's for every one of us a very, very nice area to contemplate. How much are we going into the detail in service to Guru and Krishna? Prabhupada will say once in installation of the deities, I think it was Radha Dvarkadish or I don't remember where, but he was speaking about deity seva. Then he was saying, be very careful. You are dealing with Krishna. It's not a cheap thing. We are dealing with the Supreme Personality of God, that we need to give our full attention. We need to give our full heart into the service we are doing. We just see Prabhupada, he came here into the West to give us this treasure of Krishna consciousness. He gave his whole life, and now we are actually representing him. So how much careful we should be in all our service so that we can try to represent him, try to represent his mission as good as we can, and that we don't make a play or a joke out of it. Now, I would like to go a little further. Of course, there are those moments in our days when we cannot so much meditate about Krishna because we are engaged in other activities that demand our attention on a physical level or on another level or a mental level. But there are so many times during the day when our mind could be engaged. When, for example, when we take shower or when we are dressing ourselves or sometimes even when we are eating. So much time actually, so much free time is given to us where we could engage in meditation about Krishna. And now, of course, we hear about this meditation on the lotus feet, and I would like to mention a little bit about that. But we can also meditate or use our thinking abilities to contemplate Krishna consciousness. For example, we are reading every day, or we are hearing about Krishna, we should remember that. It's not that we just hear and then we forget it. It's something we should keep in our mind. We should think again and again about those points. We should ponder about those points. How will I make them in practice? So this is also a very, very nice way to meditate about Krishna or Krishna consciousness by doing of our reading a deep contemplation. Even if there are a small drop of reading, many devotees are a lot engaged in their life, do not have much time to read. But even the small moment of reading, if one just contemplate that and try to allow the knowledge or allow the Krishna conscious inspiration, the bhav that Prabhupada is giving in those books, to allow it to go deeper in our heart. So many time is given to us to do that, and it's actually a personal sadhana or a personal decision that one can take in his life. I want to take this topic very deep. I want to go in the depth of Krishna consciousness. I don't want to just remain on the external level. So we have a lot of time that are given to us where we can have those contemplation. So because here the meditation on Krishna's lotus feet is given, I would like just to speak a little bit about that, because it's very, 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 very special topic. If you would enter lotus feet in Prabhupada's folio, you will get 10,000 of instances where that is written. And even if you make even more specific meditation on Krishna's lotus feet, you will still get really, really a lot. And all the time those mysterious lotus feet are coming again to our awareness. And it's so beautiful, the verse before, how it, the lotus feet were glorified. So, as we know, it might be not so easy to keep some lotus feet in our hand, in our head like this, to meditate like this. But the marks which are under Krishna and Radharani's lotus feet, or Chaitanya and Nityananda, those marks are actually allowing us to have deep, very deep meditation on Krishna's lotus feet. And I just would like, I don't know, is any one of you knowing any signification of any of Krishna's lotus feet sign? I make it really broad so that that I can hear also from you. Ranga Devi.
I'm not the one which is thing for controlling the elephant. This elephant thing.
Uh-huh.
This is for controlling our mind, I think.
Yeah, and this sign of the goat, the elephant goat, I think we call that, it's actually found in both lotus feet, in Krishna's lotus feet and in Radharani's lotus feet. And some acharya said that the goat, the elephant goat on Radharani's lotus feet, means that she will be able to control restless Krishna. Any other idea of a sign and maybe its meaning? So I would like to just mention a few. If you can remember one of them and think of it, it's very helpful. And one can even remember the place where the sign is. For example, you have the feet and you think, for example, you could even say like, every day I do one sign, and during the day I will try to remember again and again and again about what is the meaning of that sign and where it is placed on the feet. Is it upper left, is it under the big toe, or where is that sign? And we have very nice examples. And by the way, what I'm saying now, and those beautiful lotus feet are taken from Manidhi Swami's book, The Art of Chanting, and there he's giving explanation from maybe five or six of the shastras, different shastras. He's really made a very deep research. So I would like to just speak about few signs shortly, just for you to eventually meditate on them. So there is one sign, is the conchal. As the conchal is a sign of victory. And that's a sign of victory against our distress or against our fear. By meditating on that sign, our distress and fear will be vanquished. And also, we will use conchal to give abhishek to the deities. So we can meditate that this conchal as the amrit, as this eternal nectar that will actually extinguish the fire of material desires. So that's one sign. There is the sign of the fish. The fish has very, very beautiful meaning. As a fish cannot live without water, the devotees cannot live without the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. The fish is flickering like our mind. But by meditating on the fish of Radha and Krishna's lotus feet, our mind will be subdued. Our heart must become liquefied with loving mellow, so that the fish of Radha and Krishna's lotus feet can be staying in our heart. Another sign is the lotus. The lotus is the sign of Lakshmi Devi. So it's a sign of auspiciousness and success in life by meditating on that. At the same time, the petal of the lotus is very soft. And Radha and Krishna's lotus feet are as soft as the petal of the lotus. To meditate on the lotus, on Radha and Krishna's lotus feet, create greed for prema. Huh? All of us know that prema bhakti is the goal of life. All of us want to have prema. How much greed do we have for prema? at least in my case, it's a little missing. There is some greed need to be increased there. So by meditating on the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna, on the lotus flower, one will develop this greed for prema, for reaching prema. And the last, Radharani often has a blue lotus, and sometimes she used that blue lotus to tap on Krishna's shoulder when he misbehaves. That's also a meditation on the lotus. And the last sign I would like to speak today, there are many other, I don't want to go too long or too deep in the topic, is the bow. And the bow is only in Krishna's feet, not in Radharani's feet. And the bow said that when the mind will reach the target of Krishna's lotus feet by the help of the bow, the prema, the love for Krishna, will condense. And when this love for Krishna condense, then just tears will overflow our eyes. So much nectar is there. If we see all in all our scriptures, we have so much nectar, so much opportunity for contemplation. And if we go just few verses before, they are all description of Krishna, of his yellow dhoti, that seems to be yellow pollen that was blown by the wind, because it's also moving by the wind. There are beautiful description of the navel of Krishna when he's breathing in and breathing out. All that are not given to us for nothing. All of that is given to us in the Shastras, that we can meditate about the Lord, that we can visualize the Lord in our mind, that we can think about the Lord. Otherwise, how will we be able to always remember Krishna and never forget him? We need support for our consciousness to meditate upon. So all of those are given for us to meditate, and we can use many, many moments in the day when we have actually time, when our mind is not so busy. But usually we think of thousands of things that are maybe not so necessary, that are in the past, that are in the future, that whatever, we cannot change anything on them. So it's nice to be a little introspective. Where do we put our mind, and how do we use our faculty of thinking? And to try to increase more and more in our life those moments to think about Krishna, to remember Krishna. It can be Krishna's form, Krishna's pastime, or a philosophical topic. Prabhupada gave us like a whole package of philosophy that help us to understand who we are. Meditation, that I'm a soul, I'm not this body. Sachinandana Swami was telling us his meditation is one of his meditation. Is when he's going to take his bath in the morning. When he goes to take his shower, the first thing he's doing is meditating. I am an eternal spiritual soul. Nothing can do harm on me. I'm just there to please Krishna. I'm just there to serve my Lord. So there are small moments where we can meditate on that. And unless one contemplate and meditate about those topics, they will remain theoretical aspect of our spiritual life. They will never go deep in our heart to become some realized things. We need to chew, we need to digest those topics so that they become part of our life. In Vrindavan there are schools where they learn Srimad Bhagavatam. And they just again and again and again and again go through the verse. From the beginning to the verse, from the end of the verse to the beginning, back and forth. And from the beginning of the chapter to the end of the chapter and to the beginning, back and forth. So can you imagine how you must know the verses, especially to go reverse? It's quite something. But by doing this exercise of just repeating, remembering, learning, those verses they learn become part of their life. They see their life through the Shastra because their mind is absorbed into that. And Prabhupada was saying, according to the Krishna book, he was saying for those who study and read regularly Krishna book, they will see Krishna through their life. Whatever happened to their life, they will relate to what they have heard in Krishna Lila. And they will be Krishna conscious just by relating, because they have heard a lot. So that really shows one have to hear a lot and to ponder about those topics. And remember, we have to remember what we have heard. Another things I would like to mention that is also very, very helpful to meditate on Krishna is by the power of prayer. Praying to Krishna. Yesterday we were driving by car from Berlin to Munich, and at a certain time Maharaj started to chant Nishingadev prayer. And I was chanting Japa at that time. I was thinking, oh, I would like to keep on chanting Japa. And yeah, we chant Nishingadev because we drive by car and like this. But then I felt, no, take the opportunity. You are here. You anyway cannot chant. and it's interesting. At the time, I started to chant in my mind. When I was Tavakara Kamalavare, I thought, okay, I can chant through mantra because that's a long, long time. And when I started to chant in my mind, Maharaj was repeating few times the same place of the, or instead of going through the song, like Keshavadrita, Keshavadrita, Keshavadrita. And I said, no, stop immediately. Just chant and keep on peaceful your think of chanting Japa now. Anyway, I was there and I thought, okay, let's just chant and let's just be at the moment present. And then I felt, but I'm supposed to pray when I'm chanting. I'm chanting to Nishingadev, and the best prayer for Nishingadev is, please remove my anarthas. That's we pray for protection to Lord Nishingadev, and we pray protection mainly for our bhakti lata, for the plant of bhakti that we have in our heart. Of course, we pray for protection of our body, but That's not the real stuff we want to protect. What we really want to protect is the plant of bhakti in our heart. And the main enemies are those anathas. So that's the main prayer to Lord Nishingadev. Please remove. And I started to pray. And then I felt, see, Gaurahari, you are in the movement for Krishna consciousness. You are serving your guru. You are chanting your rounds. You are doing whatever needful is there for Krishna consciousness. But how much are you praying to become Krishna conscious? Are you Krishna conscious? How many times a day do you think of Krishna? Maybe one time, two time, three time? How many mantra do you hear when you chant 16 rounds? How much are you Krishna conscious? And how much are you praying to become Krishna conscious? Okay, you can come to the point, I try my best, I try to focus my mind, I'm like, Hare Krishna, I go maybe early to bed, or I do those external activities, but how much do I depend on Krishna's help to become Krishna conscious? And that's all what is connected to prayer, to depend on the Lord and to beg for His help, to understand I cannot do my own. I need Krishna's help. That's my only chance. I have no other option, no other. So I think this is also something that every day our activities should be imbibed with prayer. Our service should be imbibed with prayer. And Satswarup Maharaj mentioned that to go from mechanical service to feeling service, one has to include prayer. As soon as you pray while doing your service, you will come to a feeling service. You will be Krishna conscious in your service because you are praying, because you are addressing Krishna. In this year, when we were in Govindakund for Kartik, there is a group of pilgrims with Danuda Maharaj that came in our ashram, a group of Russian devotees, and Maharaj gave a little talk. And Maharaj was saying, we need to start speaking to Krishna. We need to speak to the deity. We need to acknowledge that's a person. The person is there. Then Maharaj was saying, when you go back to Vrindavan, you all go to Radheshyam and you all speak to them, either in your mind or either physically. But we need this prayer, and this prayer is, of course, the prayers of the Acharya, but it's also revealing our heart to Krishna and telling to Krishna our fate. Huh? How many songs Bhaktivinoda Thakur end by saying, I'm here in front of you and I'm just telling you the story of my life. That's totally authorized to tell to Krishna how we are doing, what is happening to us, what are our struggles, and then we can ask, please help me, please, I need you. And I see, I did that, I started to do that with the deities I'm worshipping, and I started to do that speaking to them loudly. And then I feel the deities saying, wow, Oh, you acknowledge we are there. If you speak to us loudly, that's no doubt. You don't take us cheaply. You know that we are person. We are there, and it's such a sweet relationship. So it's very important. We have this prayerful attitude, or this addressing Krishna, this addressing the deity, so that our relationship with Krishna become more and more personal. So that's also, I think, an area I would include into meditation, because that's a deep involvement of our mind into Krishna consciousness. So now Yoga Expo is coming. A lot of service will be given to us. I would suggest that we try to do all those service, but at the same time to increase our remembrance of Krishna, to increase thought, philosophical thought in our mind, and in that way that we double the purification aspect. Not only purifying the senses by engaging them in Krishna's service, but also by engaging our meditation abilities, by our thought abilities, to remember Krishna, to remember for whom we are doing that, to remember things we have read. It can be description like nectar, descriptions of Radha and Krishna's form or pastimes or lotus feet. It can be philosophical, it can be through the medium of prayers. And there was something else. No, I think that was all. So that's the lecture for today. I don't know if you have any questions, any comments.
I don't remember. It was Los Angeles. And I don't remember if it was from the same lecture or from the installation of the Gornitai deities. But Srila Prabhupada said, if you view them as brass, they will remain brass to you forever. But if you worship them with love, then they'll speak to you.
Yeah.
And from your lecture, I thought that was an important point to bring up. And then with the Yoga Expo, I was curious. I don't know what besides activity, just service required, but in terms of interacting with the people that come, I was wondering if you could give some insight or some guidance how to interact with these people who are coming because they're attracted to yoga, not necessarily bhakti yoga, but we understand from the verse so perfectly illustrates how the fulfillment of the yogic practice is the meditation on Krishna's lotus feet. So how to nicely serve these people in an appropriate manner.
Yeah. Thank you. That's a very practical and very, very nice question. I don't know. Thousands of people, I guess, will come for this Yoga Expo, and they all come to see what is there. They all come to see what's there for me. So I think there are different ways that we should try to do to serve them. The first way I will say is be there for them. When you are there, be ready to answer anyone who comes to you. Don't just be running all around doing many things, and if somebody is there, that I'm sorry, I just come back. That we have to understand the main purpose of this Yoga Expo is to give Krishna consciousness. And like Maharaj was explaining, this Krishna consciousness can be given by the devotees. So I would say the first advice, be there for the people, and be, whenever someone will approach, someone will be there, to be totally for them. So that will be an approach. Another approach, in the Yoga Expo, we meet many other devotees. So it's much nicer to speak with devotees than with kami people. So often, devotees will just be together speaking and not minding if people come to the stand or people are there. So I think also in that day, we have to understand that's a little bit of sacrifice, but that's a sacrifice of love, that we really want to give Krishna consciousness to others. So again, to be there for them. even if we speak with another devotee and we are in such a good Krishna Katha discussion, and some people are there in front of the stand, we should go to them and welcome them and be there for them. And Maharaj was giving this advice of sharing things that we experience and that enliven us. Should be careful to not preach in a fanatical way, saying, oh, those meditation, they are rascals, and, you know, but mentioning the different ways, and be kind and loving and caring. That's what to touch people most. You can preach philosophy, but they forget everything. What they keep is really the loving care and the love in the heart of the devotees. That's really what touch people, the openness of spirit and like this. So I think that could be a good guideline for this. And is, I'm saying that, but I'm preaching to myself first. I have a lot to improve in that. So, Sebastian, is that all right, the answer?
Yes.
Yeah?
Maharaj said yesterday, someone said that we should mention ourselves very insignificant. But then, if so, especially if we do so, we receive a significant service. As we receive something, we have to do our best and some responsibility, and some important task. And so, it's not that everybody else will do it if I don't do. So, it doesn't seem to be insignificant what I'm doing sometimes. And that's confusing me.
Not sure if I understood the question properly. Can you make it more condensed?
So the question is, this is the situation, and the question is how to remain in the feeling of insignificance. Service, which is somehow significant.
Okay. Yeah. I get it. Yeah. That's tricky. That's also more we advance in spiritual life, or more we have significant services, more this pride might come in the heart, and that's something one need to be very vigilant to check, and this you need introspection on yourself to see if you are trying to get credit for yourself out of that, or if you are giving it to Krishna. Is the question how to deal in this situation when you have something very good that can help? I had this difficulty with chanting bhajan. While chanting bhajan, to start to think, how will people love me, and I'm chanting so nice, and Hare Krishna, and I mean, once I was, we had a Griha Pravesh ceremony in the castle of Gadadhar, the Veda Academy, and Maharaj asked me to lead kirtan, and he was engaged a little in the puja. And when we left my car, Maharaj said, "Oh, Gaurarji, you sang very nicely this evening." I felt, wow, Maharaj never praises me usually. So I said, "Oh, thank you, Guru Maharaj." And then he said, "But I think you should learn that you should sing for Krishna instead of chanting for yourself." But, wow, that was heavy. And then I realized, my God, that's almost demoniac. I'm trying to steal Krishna's powers. I'm trying to steal Krishna's property for myself. So it was, I mean, really a deep remise en question. I don't know, we will say that in English. A big thought of how do I do now? What should I do? And I had really a very good experience in praying to Lord Nishingadeva. It was Nishinga Chaturdashi, and I was just praying, and sometimes the mind can enter like almost in a tunnel of concentration, of a tunnel of prayer, when the prayer becomes intensified. And then, I mean, it was very strong experience that I had that day. I don't want to say more, but you can really intensify this mood of prayer, and I think now Lord Nishingadeva is helping me a lot for that. So one way is pray so that you will not try to take the credit for yourself. Another way, another devotee told me, when you sing bhajan, if you don't want to be in maya, Just meditate you are an instrument. Meditate that you are just the medium, that actually Krishna and Guru are the person who are acting through you. You don't have any power on yourself. That's just something that is given to you. Meditate on this puppet here, who moved the puppet with the string, you know. So you meditate that Guru and Krishna are like this with you, that you are just instrument. That's also very helpful. But introspection has to be there. Where is my mind? What are my intentions? But more and more one progress, more and more one need to dig the root of humility deep. It's like if a tree grow, but don't grow deep the roots. When there is a storm, the tree is down. So in the same way, if the devotee progress, but don't put his roots of humility down, as soon as there is the first storm of purification or storm of difficulties, then he's down. So the root of humility need to be also cared for.
I have a small comment to his question. Because he was asking how to approach the people, and one thing to make it easy is that just to remember when you first time met a devotee or went to temple, how people care for you. What you like with this and why you come back, because actually we are all here now, we are devotees, so there must be some affection. Other new people who are coming, they will have the same feeling, and they will come for the same reason.
Yeah.
So they feel that somebody is taking caring for them, giving attention, they're just not running around, or giving some prasadam, or having nice talk, or something. Everybody is looking for happiness. We are connected, so we can give it.
Very good comment. Your name is Daniel, huh? Yeah. For the kitchen crew, Daniel is giving a very good advice also during the Yoga Expo, is that to remember how the devotees were caring for us in the beginning of Krishna consciousness, and how that actually brought us to become devotees. So in the same way, we should give this love and care we have received, we should give that further. Yeah, thank you. Yeah?
I have one question which is connecting very nicely now what you say and he is saying. And yesterday to Maharaj, you know, because Maharaj always said that, as far as I understood, and then that we should be there for the people, like, you know, going over their bridge and be there for them. And I don't know really how to put this question. You know, humility, you spend humility is not so easy, you know, to develop, but it's important to have this deep roots, you know, of humility. And so I heard, no, it's not a question, it's just a comment, I'm sorry.
Good, that's fine, comments are very good.
Sorry.
Yeah, please, go on.
I just heard that to be there for the people, you know, and to be concerned about their welfare, like Dalai Prabhu was not saying that, we should understand how we came to Krishna consciousness, you know, the people also are looking for the same, and you explained before, so this personal contact, you know. And I was just thinking, okay, maybe we can also start appreciating them, you know, for their specific qualities. I see actually they are really part and parcel of Krishna, and they are on their way, you know, and appreciate and not be so much concerned about our viewing them.
Yeah, that's actually very, very important point, because often we feel we know the truth, we have the highest, you are ignorant people, here is the truth for you. Often we feel like this, and that doesn't bring any good effect on the people. So that's also very good, and all of them come in such a gathering because they have a spiritual quest. So that's already such a good quality. That's already such a good thing. So yeah, when we are discussing with those persons, it's very nice to learn to appreciate what they are doing, what they think, and to not come like we know better and we are the Hare Krishnas. And it's a very good comment, very valuable. Thank you. Okay, so I think we will stop here. It's 9:10 already. So I was very happy that I could be here. Actually, the verse for today was the 63, but Krishna tricked me. I thought it was 53, so I started to read the verse. So come on, such a good verse, and immediately ideas started to sprout out and take notes, and then I looked on my computer. Oh no, it was 63. It was not 53. And then I looked 63, and it was creation of material nature, and oh my God, how will I make it like this? But then I felt maybe it was Krishna's arrangement that I will speak on something I feel comfortable to. So I'm very happy that I also feel that some blessings were there this morning. My Guru Maharaj was saying this morning, may Shukadev Goswami speak through you, and may Prabhupada speak through you, and he was really giving me a lot of blessings, and I felt there was also a good flow into the lecture. Also because of you were there, you were listening attentively, so it's also very encouraging for the speaker when he sees that there is a good audience. So let's go on for breakfast and our activities, and please try to increase this remembrance of Krishna while we are engaged in 1,000 activities. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Ananta koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanandi.